about a truth or consequences show that we're running. And Bob Barker may have a little sideline on this idea of truth or consequences. But I think God's major show is that God says there will be no lying at all. The Coca-Cola Bottling Company celebrated its 75th anniversary this year. And according to the newspapers, they started back in 1901 making Coca-Cola in Norfolk, Virginia. And at the various conventions, they handed out awards. And one year, they had an award for those who bottled 100,000 gallons. And the award was a diamond studded watch. And E.F. Cathy and his Norfolk Coca-Cola Bottling Company bottled 98,000 gallons the previous year. One of his friends asked him, why didn't you order the 2,000 gallons extra, a mere week's supply, that would have qualified you for the diamond studded watch farm? If I had done that, Cathy replied, those diamonds would never have sparkled for me. Now that's integrity and that's honesty, and that's the way to put this commandment in force. Mr. Cathy would not lie for 2,000 gallons of drink in order to get a few diamonds. Dr. George Stewart, in one of his services, pulled out a clean handkerchief. He presented it to the first person on the row, asked him to pass it along until all the way through the back, and then he picked it up in the back of the auditorium. Now he says, this handkerchief was perfectly clean when I presented it to the first person. But when I picked it up on the back row, it was covered with germs from everyone's hands that had touched it as it passed along. And then he went on to preach a sermon on how God hates gossip. And of course, that ranks very high in this commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, and verse 16, it says, these things doth the Lord hate. Seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, a hand that sheds blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, and feet that are swift to shed blood, and a false witness that speaketh lies. And at least the six of these can be summed up in the word lying or false witness. A little boy once said, lying is an abomination in the sight of the Lord and a very present help in time of trouble. Now, we know that what it will do for us. Benjamin Franklin once said that a half-truth was as great as a lie. Leviticus 19:16 says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. I am the Lord. Speaking truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. H.A. Albert of Austin, Texas said that it takes women twice as long to lie as it does men. He is the operator of a lie detector test that they give. And he says they usually hug the conversation and use evasive tactics when they come. But he says most of the time they talk about that which is irrelevant, because women fear that you're going to ask them something beside the crime. Now, a criminologist from France has said that there is scarcely a deed that is more commonplace than the lie. It begins with children. It's found in literature. Even among the Greek gods, they lied to each other and to man. The Orientals used to set an example of using a handful of rice and having the individual to chew it as a lie test. And if it remained dry and he could not spit it out, he was accused as guilty, because they said a guilty man was a friend and it would dry up the saliva in his mouth. In the Old Testament, Solomon was put to a test once on a scheme where he had to decide between two women as the owner of a baby. And of course, he discovered in his thinking that the true mother would be willing to let the child live. In Tibet, they have a custom of putting two stones in a boiling pot, a black and a white stone. Those who are involved in a dispute. And both of them have to plunge their hands into that boiling water. And the one that comes out with the white stone is the one that is stand and judged as being truthful. A lie detector machine is a little machine that measures the emotions of an individual. But really, without the truth, it is impossible for us to have justice. And it is impossible for justice to be given out without a true witness. One rabbi said, everything in this world was created by God except a lie. Shakespeare said, a good name in man or woman is dear. It is the immediate jewel of their soul. He who steals my purse steals trash, he says. 'Tis something, nothing, 'twas mine, 'tis his, and has been the slave to thousands. But he who steals my good name robs me of that which not enriches him and makes me poorer indeed. Now, in using this commandment, somebody has said this, that great minds discuss ideas. Mediocre minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. Most people have never developed beyond that first stage. Now, not all witnesses are too true and tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. A witness is one who gives a testimony. Now let us come to this commandment and look at it for just a moment. What does this commandment forbid? What does it forbid? First of all, it forbids slander. I think it cuts out all slander that men would use. I think it forbids silence when people need to defend the truth. Thirdly, I think it forbids the false impression that people sometimes give. Have you heard about so-and-so? And dismiss it without saying anything else. Your imagination goes to the worst. Now, of course, a few people will make up a damaging story against somebody else. But we usually pick up a little bit here or there that we have heard or someone has repeated. And I think this commandment forbids that. And I think it forbids perjury. That is, telling a lie under oath, which we find in the court. Now, the Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. A little girl one time was quoting or reading this passage from the book of Revelation, and she said, all lawyers instead of liars in this. And the teacher said, hold it a minute. And she says, well, go on, you may not be far from it. Well, now, I've known many, many lawyers who are wonderful, truthful men. And, of course, there are many people in courts and many witnesses who come to court who do not handle the truth as they should. How is this commandment really violated? How do people break it today? You know, we have the miracle of speech as individuals. The title of Satan is translated slander or accuser. He's a false witness and a liar, the father of lies from the very beginning. Now Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, by the words of man shalt thou be justified. Every word that a man speaks comes in the judgment. Therefore Jesus was wise in saying, let your communications be yea, yea, and nay, nay. A man to speak the truth must speak it in sincerity and not have duplex words. He must speak with candor. That is, it ought to be white and clear. In the book of Psalms, it says, his mouth was smooth as butter, but his heart was all wrong. Now you have a story in the Old Testament of Joab assaulting Abner. He came up to this man Abner, and Joab said to him, my brother, how is your health? And in the same breath took him by the beard and pierced him in the fifth rib with his sword. Now that's what evil speech can do in the book of Proverbs, because the Bible says the fire goeth out for lack of wood. Augustine had a little thing printed on the table in his house. When people came in and sit down there with him, he that sits here to slander absent men may never sit at this table again. What do you think if on your table you had some memento sealed down that everybody could read, and you would not talk about anybody else's character who was not present there? Tennyson said, a half a truth, a lie, is the blackest in the world. In the cheap newspapers and the publication of things today, we do not do like Paul said, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. No, because the newspaper, we find that which is dishonest, untrue, unjust, impure. And we invite our customers to read this. So there are few people today in life who would not want to withdraw some words that they have spoken. I imagine tonight there are some people who wish that there were some things they had said they had not said. Now with the invention of radio and television and all of these monitoring stations, we wonder who is telling the truth. I could go back to Watergate and I could ask you tonight, who really told the truth? Now men wonder, who is telling the truth? When I go back tonight and think about the oil crisis just a few months back, and then you read about an oil scandal, and then you go back to World War II, and they published very clearly the big lie, and it was Hitler. Now, that was 30 years ago, and people thought the Nazis were terrible because of the way Hitler lied to one nation after another. But that becomes a way of life today with people. And we have perjury in the courtroom. Think of people today. How many people today use the Fifth Amendment and say, I can keep my mouth closed, when there is some truth that needs to be spoken? And something that needs to come to light. But a witness can sit there before the judge and say, I take the Fifth Amendment. No wonder the old mountaineer lawyer jokingly said up there where he practiced, "These courts are getting so crooked around here, I'm going to take my witnesses and move to a new town." There are always people who are crooked in the way they witness. And of course, notice these commandments as we have gone over them. Remember them. Thou shalt not murder. Don't you take another man's life. Thou shalt not steal. Don't you take another man's property. Don't you commit adultery. Don't you take somebody else's virtue. And don't you bear false witness. Don't you damage somebody else's character. Like Isaiah, we need tonight to pray and to say, "I'm a man of unclean lips, O God." In July 13, 1817, in the Franco-Prussian War, just because of a telegram that was sent, the war started. There was jealousy. The newspapers had fanned it for months. And after the initial telegram had been sent, which was supposed to be a retreat, it was turned into an attack. And so the war was carried on because of a lie. Falsehood is something that men and women, boys and girls, in every area of life, we can find on the records. The story of the captain of a ship, the first mate who drank too much. The captain put down in the log this statement: "The first mate was drunk today." Well, he feared that he might get dismissed, and he told the captain, he said, "I'd like for you to change that." He says, "But what's put in the log cannot be changed." So a few days later, the first mate was in charge, and he wrote in the log book, "The captain was sober today." Now, just by what he said, the implication was enough to convict the captain. And it is a common sin that people commit today. You know, really, I've never heard many people come and confess to me that I've lied. I've had people to confess to me all sorts of things, but I've had very few to come and say, "Preacher, I've lied." I had a young lady to come to me this morning right at church, and she lied to me. Now, that really shocks you, doesn't it? Well, she wasn't a member of our congregation. She was kind of drifting down through the community. But she says, "I'm in a bad way, and I don't have time to tell you her story. But as soon as I got out the building and so on and opened my two eyes, I could see what was happening. It was not the young lady's problem. It was two or three other people involved too." Now, my dear friends, this commandment, people ought to tell the truth. That's what the devil said to Eve. Has God said this? That's what he said about Job. Doth Job fear God for aught? And many times the lie is used as a political football. Billy Graham got a letter once, and it was from a young woman. And in this letter she said, "I have lied to my husband since we were married 12 years ago, and now he believes nothing I say. And of course our marriage is breaking up." Ring Louder tells a story about a man who went from town to town taking down the names of merchants in the village and then sending letters back to those men. And in that letter he would say this: "Ask your wife what happened at 3 o'clock last Thursday afternoon when a handsome young salesman called on her at her home." Now he gloated over this, and he could think about the suspicion that those businessmen would have of their wives. Now this sort of lying is a violation of the commandment. Now let us see for a moment what is the value of this commandment. General Booth, when the Salvation Army was under attack, his son came to him with a news clipping and said to him, "Father, look what they're saying about you." And Booth said to his son, "Listen, that doesn't make any difference 50 years from now, how these people treated me. But the great thing that's going to matter is how we've worked and served Jesus." We think about our Lord. They lied about him. They took false witness against him. They accused him. He was a suffering lamb. He was the sheep before the shepherds who was dumb. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was reviled, and yet he did not strike back. And there was no way Jesus could straighten out all those falsehoods. And I'll tell you something. In many, many churches, the temptation of controversies and those things, when somebody starts a half-truth about something, is just horrible. That's the basic idea of Leviticus 19:16. We shall not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. I went in court once, out here in Ricardo's court in Chesapeake, and I listened to a few cases, and then the patrolman came up with a man who said, and he said this man could not drive on his right side of the highway. He could not stay without veering over the white line and driving in the path of the oncoming cars. And the judge asked him one question, "How many drinks have you had?" "One." And he said the case dismissed. Now, my dear friends, I believe the patrolman was telling the truth. And I believe that he was a faithful witness. And I think that when the witness comes in with a truthful message, then it ought to be upheld. And there are lots of people who need to pray, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God." In Prince's Ann County some years ago, they were having a campaign. Two men from the same district were running. The newspaper reporter came to those men and said, "Now, can't we get you to say something against the other candidate?" Neither man would say anything at all against his brother. One of them expressed it this way: "We want to live at peace with our neighbors. We cannot tell lies in running for the political office. We're running on our character and on our history in this community." And I think that's the way it ought to be. What about fortune tellers? What about the Italian poet Petrarch, who was hauled into court once and was being sworn in by a judge? And somebody said, "That will not be necessary because his word is sufficient." No wonder the old proverb has so much truth in it. His word is his bond. When a man speaks something, it ought to be his bond, and he ought to be truthful in what he says, or else he is breaking this commandment. Down in Egypt, they used to have the way of dealing with liars by cutting off noses or ears. In the Old Testament, men were held responsible for their injuries. And when witnesses came against Naboth, then he lost his life. How tragic indeed. There is so much in good in the worst of us, so much bad in the best of us, that it ill behooves the best of us to talk about the rest of us. No wonder Will Rogers said, "So live and love that you will not be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip." An English preacher one time said, "We gather, we talk about politics, we talk about the weather, we talk about economics, but just before we part our friends, we always say, now let's just say a word about Jesus." Thomas in the New Testament was a true witness. He said, "My Lord and my God." A lie has no legs, the proverb says. And Bishop Hall says, "Lies are like Samson's foxes and firebrands. By thy words you're justified, and by thy words you're condemned. And all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie shall in no wise enter into the New Jerusalem." How can I check myself? How can I overcome this habit? Simply by this: admitting that it's a sin. Number two, confess that sin. Number three, straighten out any story that you have told against anybody and make it right with the person and with God. The commandment says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." And may you tonight pledge yourself to surrender yourself to the true witness, Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5. Jesus Christ, the true witness, who washed us in his blood. Number 363, I surrender all. And that means our language, all that we have to say, is watched over by God. Use your voice tonight to speak for him. If you're not a Christian, I invite you to come and accept him, the true and faithful witness, Jesus Christ.